You're listening to SBS News.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said on Tuesday the alliance's responsibility was to ensure the conflict between Russia and Ukraine does not escalate and spread beyond Ukraine. Speaking alongside Latvia's President Egils Levits at Riga Castle, Mr. Stoltenberg said Russia's invasion was causing horrific suffering.
The suffering we now see in Ukraine is horrific. It affects us all. And we have a responsibility to ensure the conflict does not escalate and spread beyond Ukraine. That would be even more dangerous, destructive, and even more deadly. The situation could spiral out of control.
The United Nations says the number of refugees who have fled Ukraine had surged past 2 million, describing the flight as one of the fastest exoduses in modern times. The Kremlin describes its actions in Ukraine as a special operation to disarm its neighbor and unseat leaders it claims are neo-Nazis. Ukraine and its Western allies call this a baseless pretext for an invasion to conquer a country of 44 million people. Ukraine began evacuating civilians from besieged cities on Tuesday after Russia allowed the creation of humanitarian corridors and Kyiv appealed to Moscow to keep its guns silent so that people could leave safely. Deputy Prime Minister Irina Vereshchuk says 30 buses were heading to the besieged Ukrainian city of Mariupol to collect evacuees via humanitarian corridor to Ukraine-controlled territory.
Humanitarian corridors have started to work on the part of the road linking Mariupol and Zaporizhia. From Zaporizhia towards Mariupol, via Oregi, Polohi, Belmanka, Rozivka, Respublika, Mangush and Potovsky, the humanitarian column has departed. It consists of 8 trucks as well as 30 buses. On their way back, they will take people, mainly women, children, and elderly people.
There were signs Russian forces were firing in the direction of a route for humanitarian aid, she added, without providing further details. Civilians have been trapped by fighting since Russian troops invaded Ukraine on the 24th of February, and officials say food, water, and other supplies have been running low in many cities. This comes as Britain announced that it is joining the United States in introducing a ban on imports of Russian oil. Business Secretary Kwasi Kwarteng said oil and oil products from Russia will be phased out by the end of the year.
What we've announced today is that we want to see the elimination of Russian oil imports during the course of the year. So that gives people time to adapt to the new situation, but we want to see the elimination of Russian oil imports, as I say, during the course of 2022.
He says the transition period strikes a good balance between eliminating reliance on Russian oil, but also allows people time and people in the market to adapt to the removal of Russian imports, which account for 8% of UK demand. The British business secretary says Britain is far less reliant on Russian gas when asked whether gas will be phased out in the UK. President Joe Biden's ban on Russian oil imports toughens the toll on Russia's economy.
Today, I'm announcing the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy. We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine. This is a move that has strong bipartisan support in Congress and, I believe, in the country. Americans have rallied to support the Ukrainian people and made it clear we will not be part of subsidizing Putin's war. We made this decision in close consultation with our allies and our partners around the world, particularly in Europe.
It follows pleas from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to U.S. and Western officials to cut off the imports, which had been a glaring omission in the massive sanctions put in place on Russia over the invasion. He was given a standing ovation by British politicians as he made an appearance by video link on Tuesday in the House of Commons chamber. The president's request to address Parliament was permitted by the Speaker of the House, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, who told Mr. Zelensky the UK watched the situation unfold in Ukraine with increasing concern.
President Zelensky, we have watched the situation unfold in your country with increasing concern. but also with increasing admiration for the courage, the fortitude displayed by you and your fellow Ukrainians. Mr. President, you are welcome to address members of the House of Commons and the Lords. You now have the floor. President.
Meanwhile, the Central Intelligence Agency's director, William Burns, believes Russia underestimated the strength of Ukraine's resistance before launching the invasion that has probably caused thousands of Russian casualties.
He was confident that he had modernized his military and they were capable of a quick, decisive victory at minimal cost. He's been proven wrong on every count. Those assumptions have proven to be profoundly flawed over the last 12 days of conflict.
The testimony in a hearing before the House Intelligence Committee on Tuesday amounted to the first public disclosure by the nation's most senior intelligence officials about how the two-week-old war is proceeding. It offers their insight into the thinking and motives of Russian President Vladimir Putin as his forces continue their march through Ukraine. The officials, including Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines, made clear their assessment that Russia's assault has been slowed by unexpected resistance by Ukrainian defenders and that it was now unclear if Mr. Putin would proceed with plans to try to capture all of Ukraine or would settle for something short of that.
It is unclear at this stage is whether Russia will continue to pursue a maximalist plan to capture all or most of Ukraine, which we assess would require more resources, even as the Russian military has begun to loosen its rules of engagements to achieve their military objectives. And if they pursue the maximalist plan, we judge it will be especially challenging for the Russians to hold and control Ukrainian territory and install a sustainable pro-Russian regime in Kyiv in the face of what we assess is likely to be a persistent and significant insurgency. And of course, the human toll of the conflict is already considerable and only increasing.
To sanctions, and McDonald's has closed hundreds of its restaurants in Russia. The world's largest hamburger chain has decided to close 847 of its restaurants in Russia, increasing pressure on other global brands to pause operations in the country following Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, and Starbucks have also said they will temporarily stop selling their products and close all of their outlets in Russia. The closure of the McDonald's restaurants will also carry symbolic importance in Russia, where the first location to open, in central Moscow in 1990, became an iconic symbol of flourishing American capitalism as the Soviet Union fell. McDonald's said it would continue to pay salaries to its 62,000 employees in Russia. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.